The last time we were in 1 Timothy, which was 2 weeks ago because of the Memorial Day message last week, but the last time we were in 1 Timothy, we talked about salvation made simple. And what did we learn about God's salvation that He offers to human beings today? And I know that everyone in here can remember all 3 points from 2 weeks ago, right? So I don't need to review, right? No, we said salvation cannot be attained by self-effort. You cannot work for it. We said that salvation, though, has been provided through a Savior. God brought deliverance outside of ourselves. He provided a Savior. We said, number three, that salvation is secured by simple faith. You simply believe on God's answer for your sin, and that answer is not the pastor. That answer for your sin is not joining a church. It's not the waters of baptism. The answer for your sin is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you through His cross work and resurrection. Believe that what He did is enough. And the moment you believe upon Him, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, what did Paul call that? Well, look at verse 11. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Paul calls this the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And it is glorious and it is blessed. Praise the Lord. God did not set up salvation's plan to where a person had to be a genius or a college graduate or have a certain IQ in order to be able to figure the thing out. Praise the Lord. Even a child can understand the way to get saved, the way to have your sin taken care of, the way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And even a child can understand the plan of salvation. And I wonder how many of you in here, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you trusted Him, say, under the age of 12 years old. How many of you got saved as a child? Okay, look at that. Probably at least half of the congregation. And so God set it up that way. And I'm so thankful for that. But here's the thing I really want to focus on this morning as we move through this. And this is a key statement, and that's why I put it in your handout. Key statement, here it is. God's plan of salvation is not only to be trusted in and believed, it is also to be shared. It's not just to be trusted in and believed, it's also to be shared. God's desire is those of us who have been saved. He wants us to communicate the glorious good news, the gospel, with other people. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, no doubt. No doubt about it, it's good news. But what good is good news if people don't hear about it and they don't know about it? What good is good news if nobody hears about it? I forget when it was. I think it was last year, but heard the good news that Dunkin' Donut was giving away free coffee on a certain day. And man, that was good news to me. And that was glorious news. Amen. And I heard they were giving away a free small cup of coffee. No purchase necessary. You can come as many times as you want during the day and you could get free coffee. And I love Dunkin' Donut coffee. And that was really, really good news. There was only one problem with the good news. It was on a Wednesday. I heard about it on Thursday. And the person that shared it with me, I don't remember who it was now. It might have been Rob. But I'm like, now you know I'm a coffee lover, right? Yeah. You know I love Dunkin' Donut, right? Yeah. I said, then what in the world are you doing sharing it with me a day late? You know, shame on you. I went into mourning. I had a grieving over that, you know. But, you know, I heard about it too late. And it's like that song we just sung. You know, do I care, Lord? Do I care about people? Because, or am I going to wait till I die, until they die, to care? Well, then it's too late. I have no way to share, that song says. Once I'm dead or once they're dead, there's no way to share it. It's too late. And so the gospel of Christ is to be shared. You know, there are people that you rub shoulders with that I'll never meet. There are people you see almost every day or almost every week, and I'll never lay eyes on them one time. I'll be born, I'll die, I'll never see them. You see them all the time. And they've never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. You can be the channel. And this is what I want you to see this morning, is that God can use you. And you can be the channel that God uses to lead others to Jesus Christ. God desires to use you, Christian. How do I know this? Well, number one, in your handout, because God has entrusted the gospel to you. God has entrusted the gospel to you. I want you to look here at verse number 11, all right? Let's go back and I want to finish that verse. I didn't read the whole thing a minute ago. But look at verse 11. It says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Jesus Christ had entrusted the glorious gospel to the Apostle Paul. Now listen, church, Paul did not receive his gospel from Peter. He didn't get it from James or John. Paul did not receive his gospel message from any of the 12 apostles. He received it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. In Galatians, we'll bring it up, chapter 1 here, it says, but I certify you, brethren. We understand what certify means, right? I mean, it's certified, buddy. This is the way it is. That the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I didn't get it secondhand. I got it directly from Jesus Christ. The gospel he preached, he got by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. I was talking about Dunkin' Donut earlier. I know the owner of all the Dunkin' Donuts in this county. I mean, I really do. I'm not just teasing. I really do know her. It's a lady. And I don't know her. You know, she's not like a close friend, but I know her because I coached her grandson in baseball years ago. And when she sees me, she knows me, and, you know, we say hi. If I see her in one of the Dunkin' Donut stores, which I frequent often, I see her in there. And you know, we say hi, and, you know, she knows me, and I know her. But, you know, think about this. What if a year before they had the free coffee day, what if she would have called me herself on the phone and said, we're going to have free coffee day 1 year from now, and it's going to be on this day, it's going to be this time, these locations. And then I go to tell somebody, and they say, no, that's not true. I haven't seen that anywhere. That's not on their website. That's nowhere. And I say, I got it by direct revelation of the owner of Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, I got it straight from the owner. Now, she doesn't know me well enough to do that, all right? But imagine that happening. I didn't get it from Rob, and I didn't get it from one of the managers at the locations, and I didn't get it from one of the workers, and I didn't get it from Paul Peacock. I got it by direct revelation of the owner of Dunkin' Donuts. Paul said, I got my gospel, not from Peter, not from James, not from John, not from any of the 12. I got it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul calls it the glorious gospel. Because he did not get it from Jesus Christ while Christ walked on the earth. He got it from the risen, exalted, glorified Christ. He got his gospel after Christ was risen, exalted, and glorified at the right hand of the Father. It's the it's the message that the glorified Savior at the right hand of the Father is offering grace to all of his enemies in the world. And that's why he calls it the glorious gospel, because he didn't get it from Christ on earth. He got it from Christ after he was exalted and glorified at the right hand of the Father. It's the glorious gospel. It's the good news of Christ. And his grace was a deposit of truth that Christ made in Paul. He said, he committed unto me the glorious gospel. So Jesus Christ made a deposit of truth into the Apostle Paul. Paul, in turn, had deposited this truth into other faithful men. And God's plan was for them to deposit that truth into others and pass their faith along. Look in your handout. It says in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me," tells Timothy, "among many witnesses, the same commit," there's that word again, "the same commit thou to faithful men." Take that deposit of truth, Timothy, I committed to you, commit it to faithful men, who then they'll be able to teach others. They'll be able to make that deposit of truth in other people. Well, that's exactly what happened. Paul made the deposit of truth into Timothy, and then Timothy made that deposit of truth into other faithful men. And then finally, you and I came along, and we heard the glorious gospel that Christ gave to Paul, and we trusted Christ. It's been committed to our trust. Paul's not here anymore. Timothy's not here anymore. These guys aren't here back in the Bible days anymore. That deposit of truth has now been given to us. What an honor, but what a responsibility. You know, you go on Friday, you take your paycheck, and you commit into the trust of that bank your paycheck. Well, that's an honor, but it's a responsibility that bank has as you make that deposit and commit that into their trust. And this is a deposit that Christ made to Paul and Paul made into faithful men, and now it's come to you and I. And now, what are we going to do with it? In your handout, it says that God made a deposit in us, and He expects a return on that investment. Does that make sense? Say amen if that makes sense, huh? God wants you to share the good news, and He wants you to bring forth fruit by leading others to Jesus Christ. Look in your handout. John 15 says, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." See? "For without me ye can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." I want to show you an example of this. Paul went to Thessalonica, just a heathen, Gentile, wicked city. He led many of those people to Jesus Christ. He said they turned from idols to the Lord. Well, that's great. They turned from idols to the living and true God. But then what did they in turn do? Paul made a deposit of truth in them, but then what did they do? I want you to look up on the screen. He says, "For from you," these people who were once idolaters that now had been saved because of the deposit of truth Paul made in them, he says, "Now from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God were to spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything." He said, man, you've covered it. We don't need to go back and say anything again. Man, you got it covered, man. You're doing the job. Picture it as a chain. And I've got a picture here to kind of help you visualize this. Picture it as a chain. All right? There's a chain of believers, spiritual ancestors, if you will, that go back from you if you're saved. In other words, somebody led you to Christ. That's how you heard. Right? Somebody led you to Christ. And then somebody led the person that led you to Christ to Christ. Somebody led to Christ the person that led the person that led the person to you to Christ. And then somebody led that person that led that person that led that person that led that person to you to Christ. Y'all get the picture, right? Okay. Now, think about it as a chain that's going back. So here you're saved, and there's this chain of spiritual ancestors that go back from you. The point is this: do you want that chain to stop with you? There's somebody for you to impact. There's somebody for you to lead to Christ. The gospel of Christ has been entrusted to you. That deposit of truth has now been placed in you, and you don't want that to be in vain. God's entrusted it to you. All right? That's serious. The gospel, if you know the gospel, it's been committed into your trust. Wow, that's huge. But number two, the second thing is this: you can lead others to Christ because number two, God has enabled you to share it with others. If we skip on down here to verse 12, right after he says it was committed to his trust, verse 12 says, what does it say? Look at it. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, to minister to others. See, what had been committed to him. Now that word enable is interesting. That word enable, church, it means to empower. It's one thing to entrust something or a responsibility to somebody, but then it's another thing to enable them to be able to fulfill it and to do it. One thing to entrust, it's another thing to enable. For example, just an illustration of this is yesterday, my boys received the glorious good news that it was time to mow the grass again at our house. Wasn't that glorious, Clayton? It was glorious good news. And so I entrusted to them the responsibility and the privilege of getting to mow our grass. Now, imagine if Clayton and Caleb come and they say, okay, Dad, we know you've entrusted this responsibility to us, but we don't have a mower. There's no lawnmower. I say, oh, well, that's all right. And then I hand him a pair of scissors and say, go at it. You like that, Xander? Your dad ought to do that to you, huh? You would know. But yeah, imagine I hand him a pair of scissors. You see, I have entrusted the responsibility to him, but man, that isn't going to get it done. I'm not enabling them. If I entrust the responsibility to them, but then I want to enable them. I want to empower them. I want to give them the power needed, namely a lawnmower with a motor in that thing, and that thing that turns down there so they can mow it, right? God had empowered Paul to share the good news of God's grace with others. After Paul got saved, he immediately began to minister the gospel to others. In fact, up on the screen, look at this, Acts 9. It says in straightway. That means immediately. Immediately. Now, Acts 9, we know that's the chapter he got saved. So the guy just got saved. And it says immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on the name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. So Paul immediately begins witnessing for Jesus Christ. God empowered him. He enabled him. But God didn't just do that for Paul. God does that for every believer. In your handout it says that when you trust Christ as your Savior, God's very Spirit comes to live, comes to dwell inside of you and provide power. Write that in that blank there. Power. For you to live your new life in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God inside of you that enables you to serve God as you seek to make His gospel known to others. Look at this verse, Acts 4:31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the, what, church? That's that enabling, see? And what was the result? Well, they spake the word of God with boldness. See, they got enabled. You say, well, I could never open my mouth to speak to others about Jesus Christ. I could never do that. You're right. You cannot do it, but God's Spirit can do it through you. There's a verse in your handout that we're very familiar with, but it's a good one. I can do all things. And what's those next two words? See, He enables you. He empowers you. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God would want you to share your faith in Jesus Christ, to share the way to heaven? Do you think God would want you to share that with other people? All right, then do you think God will enable you to do it? Yeah, He wants you to do it. He's entrusted it to you, but then He's also enabled you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Praise the Lord, He didn't hand you a pair of scissors, did He? He didn't hand you a pair of scissors. No, He actually put the Spirit of Christ in you. You know? He didn't say, hey, I want you to do this. Now, here's a pair of scissors, you know, like the illustration. No, He empowered you. He gave you the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 calls it, to live inside of you. God has saved you. He put His Spirit in you in order for you to minister for him. Look at it again. Look at verse 12 again. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath, and there's the key word, enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Every believer's been put into the ministry. Did you know that? Every believer's been put into the ministry. That is, you are saved to serve him. You know, Paul wasn't a full-time Christian worker in the classic sense that we think of today. We know that he made tents in Corinth. We know when he was in Thessalonica, he worked a job because he said, I was not chargeable. We worked night and day to provide our living. Paul wasn't like just a full-time pastor somewhere at a church. No, he was just a guy who was making tents or doing whatever he had to do to make a living, but he was sharing Christ wherever he went. You may not have the gift of teaching. You may never stand in front of a class and teach. You may never be a full-time pastor, but God has enabled you to speak for him. That's my point. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Some of you have a pretty good platform to talk for Jesus Christ. You know? Some of you have a bigger platform than others. Some of you have, you've got influence over children, teenagers, a lot of them. Some of you over coworkers. Some of you, maybe you're retired, but you've got influence in the restaurant you go into all the time. You've got influence in your neighborhood, you know, with your neighbors, or maybe you're part of some association and you've got influence there for Christ. Take it and use it. Use the influence for Christ. You know, he's entrusted the gospel to you. You're saved. You know him. It lives inside of you. It's been entrusted to you. He's enabled you. He's given you his Holy Spirit to be able to do it and to be able to take the good news that's been committed to your trust and bring forth fruit with it. Be fruitful. Man, we've only got 60, 70, 80 years down here. Man, they might as well be fruitful. Amen? Take some people with us. I wonder how many of you, I'm just curious, we're going to talk about this thing of everyone's a minister. But I wonder how many of you, think about the person that led you to Christ. And maybe, and there's times when maybe nobody actually formally led you to Christ, but they were a great influence upon you, and then you ended up trusting Christ. Maybe you knelt beside your bed at home, or you did it, you know, wherever. But, you know, think about the person who either led you to Christ or was the most influential in you coming to Christ. And I wonder how many of you that was a pastor. How many of you it was a pastor and that influenced you the greatest or led you to Christ? How many of you it was a pastor? Okay. All right. Probably 5%. How many of you the person that was influential or led you to Christ was not a pastor? Raise your hand. Look at that, 95%. That's my point. You guys just proved my point, is that God uses everyday, ordinary people to bring others to Jesus Christ. He uses a coworker. He uses a neighbor. He uses an old buddy from high school. He uses a friend from college. He uses a fellow teenager that is just a witness for Christ at school and on the team and speaks a word for Christ. And, you know, he uses just people in their everyday life. You see, God has empowered you and God has enabled you. Yield yourself. Say, Lord, you know what? I'm scared to death. Just be honest with God. I'm scared to death to tell my buddy at work about Jesus. But, Lord, I pray you'll empower me to do it. I pray you will fill me with your Spirit and give me boldness like you did Paul. You know, Lord, empower me. Fill me with your Spirit. Number three, the last point is this. You can lead others to Christ, number three, because God has given you a testimony to back up your words. Amen. Whew. God's given you a testimony. Man, I like this. Verse 13, man, Paul starts going through this. Did you know that Paul's conversion story, which happens in Acts 9, did you know that it's told about 6 times in the New Testament? His conversion story is told by him like 6 different times. He's just constantly sharing his story. Now, if you're saved, you have a testimony of salvation. You've got a story about how you were converted to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. Look at Paul does it again here in this text. And he talks about it. He says, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see, what Paul's saying here is Paul's saying, I'm a changed man. Hey, I was a blasphemer. We all know what that means. He was a blasphemer who rejected Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor of Christians. He didn't like Christians. He persecuted them. He couldn't stand them. He said, I was injurious. That's not a word we use a lot, but we get the idea. Injurious, injured. It means he was violent. He was abusive. He thought nothing of injuring, physically injuring and battering Christians as he brought them in to the high priest and to be jailed or to be persecuted. And he said, man, I lived my life ignorantly in unbelief. Well, we all have a testimony of our lives before Christ, don't we? And like Paul, sometimes it's not very pretty, is it? In your handout in Titus 3, 3 and 4, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes, now look at the description here. This is BC, before Christ, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Then it says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. You see, Jesus Christ had changed Paul's life by his grace. Look at verse 14 again. Verse 14, look at it. And the grace, look at what it's all rooted in here. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. You see, Paul's life had been changed by his grace. It was grace that changed Paul's life. It was grace that broke down his pride on the road to Damascus. It was grace that empowered him to proclaim Christ boldly to others. To Paul was committed the gospel of grace. And in your handout it says that grace is available to all through Christ's finished work. That's why Christ came. He came to save sinners. Nobody is beyond saving. Do not fear and think, well, I'm too great of a sinner. Christ would never want me to be in his family. Jesus Christ will save you, and he will take you into his family. He will fill you with his precious Holy Spirit. He will change your life, and he will give you a testimony of grace that you can share with other people. You can lead others to Christ if you're saved. You have a testimony to share. Like Paul, you have a story to tell. And I want you to know something. In this day and age of internet and and all the different ways of communication that we have today, I'm telling you, and I know, Ray, you've been in car salesman all your life practically, and I know Ray will attest to this. There is nothing more powerful or influential than the testimony of a satisfied customer. Amen. Am I right, Ray? Amen. Amen. There is nothing more powerful than for somebody to think Ray treated him right and then go all over town saying, you like my new car? Man, where'd you get that? Got it from a guy named Ray down there. Man, you ought to go see him. There is nothing more powerful than that. Nothing more powerful than the testimony of a satisfied customer. You know what? Praise the Lord. We didn't have to pay anything to get salvation. But I don't know about you, but man, when it comes to my salvation, I feel like a satisfied customer. How about you, huh? Man, I'm satisfied. Jesus satisfies you, doesn't he, church? And there is nothing more powerful than when somebody whose life's been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ to go out and tell somebody about it. There is nothing more powerful than that. That is more powerful than taking out an ad in the newspaper and giving the gospel in the newspaper. you know, or plastering on the internet. No, man, that word of mouth, you still can't beat it. Paul stands as a testimony that God can save anybody. And he stands as a testimony God can use anybody. Paul called himself the least of all saints. Paul said, man, verse 16, he said, I'm a pattern. I'm an example that God can save anybody. God can use anybody. I'm a pattern. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I don't have a testimony of salvation. I don't have a story. I still don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. And you think, man, I cannot look back in my life and I cannot remember a time when I realized that I was a sinner and that I needed Christ and where I asked him to forgive me and where he changed my life. I don't have that testimony. You know what the good news is? You can have that testimony today. You can get your salvation settled today. You can get saved today and have a story to tell tomorrow. And there's people that do that. Man, they get saved here on Sunday and they're telling everybody Monday about it. June 1st, 2014. June 1st, 2014. June 1st. Special day. It was my dad's birthday. And he's home with the Lord. But you know what? This can be your spiritual birthday. This can be your spiritual birthday today. You can get saved, get born into the family of God today. And if you're already saved, Christian, this message really was to you. Has God, if you're saved, has God entrusted the good news to you? Yes or no? Has he enabled you to share it? Yes, he's enabled. He gave you the Spirit. And if you're saved, do you have a testimony? Do you have a story to tell? Yes, you do. So you can lead others to Christ. In your handout, there at the bottom, it says, who is the person that God wants to use to lead others to Christ? Anyone want to take a stab? Who do you think it is? Yeah, here you go. Well, let's bring it up. You. Yeah, exactly. You and me. That's the person God wants to use. I mean, you saw how many of you got led by a pastor? Only about 5%. You know, God wants to use you.